Yeah. How are you?
I'm okay. I've missed doing our podcast. It's been a week, more than a week since our last one, so it's good to be back. How are you?
It's very stressful week for everyone in Ukraine. Extra stressful because of the yesterday's attack. And but everyone's resilient and even without heat or without heating or without energy, people just carry on in total badass defiance anywhere or everywhere I go or speak or check on people. So
Yeah.
absolutely, that gives a lot of kind of hope. And today's the day of Ukraine's army. It's an annual celebration. Today, this year is totally different, but what gave me lots of hope and a kind of inspiration is our Ukrainian soldiers are actually cheering up from the front line for the rest of the Ukraine and making all these videos and saying folks shouldn't like lose hope and everything's going to be great and fine and victory soon. And when I started watching, it's like this is exactly the reason why Ukraine is unbreakable, because our soldiers on the front line are sending good vibes back to the people behind the front line,
Yeah.
so they keep their spirits up. This is totally remarkable.
But also our friends that I think this is a good day to remind everyone that there's a great article that came out today by our friends from Що там, which is a Ukrainian media outlet, but it's basically talking about 10 top прорив, I don't know how to say it in English, like 10
Breakthroughs.
breakthroughs of the Ukrainian army that shocked the world. Basically, just showing that, the Ukrainian army this year has shown everyone globally how powerful they are and how just brave they are, and how they basically proved to the whole world that, they can
Absolutely.
do what they need to do to protect Ukraine. So, and it's true, because when I read that headline, I was like, yeah, there were instances where everyone was like, wow, this is absolutely like astonishing what the army is doing on different levels, from liberating Kharkiv to Kherson to so many other places, that it's just it's just been incredible to see, and it gives hope in general.
But maybe people don't understand that the majority of people who are on the front line, who are now service people within Ukrainian army, they're just regular Ukrainians like we are. So the army is the majority of the army is now equipped with the people who enlisted, and those people come from all over the society. IT professionals, directors, actors, singers, teachers, whatnot. And I
Yeah.
think the bravery and the incredible things that they're achieving are exactly based in that these are regular Ukrainians who are risking everything and fighting for their home and defending their home, not just some professional army doing
Yeah.
something as a job. This
Yeah.
they were fighting for our lives for sure.
And it's also, I guess, just one tiny thing to note. I think what it's also shown is, of course, we're super grateful for the support we've been getting from people all over the world, from governments and so on. But it just shows that essentially supporting Ukraine is probably the best investment that people could have made into freedom and into the truth, because essentially our army has been, with the support of a lot of these investments, has been doing crazy, amazing things to protect the values that we stand for. So we're just grateful today and always for that.
Absolutely. As I tweeted today, I personally do not believe in God, but I do believe in Ukrainian armed forces. And I'm alive. My family is alive thanks to their bravery in the last 9 months. So please keep donating and keep spreading the word. That's important. I think we also wanted to share before we introduce our featured Ukrainians, Ukrainian of today. We, Valeria, wanted to share with you the story behind Ukrainian spaces that we haven't told before to anyone. And we actually had troubles at some point, having conversation somebody asked from our team, but how exactly Ukrainian Spaces started? And we were shocked with Valeria to find out that we don't exactly remember. Yeah, it was a bizarre moment. I don't know why we don't remember, because it started right around the start of genocide, and maybe lots of things in our memory got erased because
yeah, that's why we don't remember.
But we went back through our text messages to establish kind of the origin story. And we figure out we actually, nobody knows it, or maybe you'll be surprised, we didn't know each other before this year at all. So we stumbled upon each other's DMs, I think in January or February, where, you know, lots of Ukrainians already had sleepless nights. And we were filled with an anxiety over imminent Russian full-scale invasion. And we were two total strangers. And I think we started sharing quite a lot of frustration that there is so much coverage of Ukraine and zero Ukrainian voices. Is that correct? I think that it started like that.
Yeah, exactly. And basically, essentially, yeah, we were just seeing that the interest in Ukraine was like rising. But of course, there were some voices that were, you know, popping up that were Ukrainian, that were telling the world about Ukraine from their perspective, but still it was quite limited. But yeah, I think when I guess on the 24th, both of our families were like, I don't know, just all over the place, displaced, torn apart, terrorized. And I think, this is the thing I never talk about. I lost my grandmother, who didn't survive the evacuation in the first 2 weeks. She was very old, but we tried to get her out of Kiev when Kiev was under siege, and we weren't able to save her. And Maxim also lost his aunt, whose heart couldn't handle essentially the genocide and the war and the horror. And so I actually texted Maxim the first few pages of my grandmother's memoir, and just asked what he thought about, you know, Maxim, what you thought about setting up a space where Ukrainian voices in a safe manner could speak to each other. And Maxim, what did you reply?
And I replied to that message that I cried over those quotes of your grandma's books. And I say so many stories, like your grandma and my aunt had, they had, and they might forever die in this genocide. So we must preserve as many as possible. And this, from this, I guess, paralyzing pain, resistance emerged. And this is how Ukrainian Spaces went live. And through the darkest days, we made a promise to each other to never skip a broadcast, no matter how broken we felt on that day. And in honor of Ukrainian voices, and unfortunately our loved ones, that who got silenced forever on those days, in honor of all Ukrainians who deserve to be heard and their stories preserved, Ukrainian Spaces now lives. So this is a story for you. Пронизане усе до нитки гуркотом, цю порожнечу не заповнити. Ми будемо її рупором. Я I think it's perfect bridge to introduce our featured Ukrainian for today. We're super honored and excited. This is so cool. We have a chance to talk to Ivan. Ivan, can you hear us?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Slava Ukraini.
Героям слава. Look, we have a golden rule for our featured Ukrainians. They always introduce themselves first, as they would like for the world to know them and share what they would like to share with the rest of the world. So if you don't mind to tell us maybe a bit who you are, where you come from, and what you do these days.
Sure. My name is Ivan Zbaraski. I am an artist and music producer and digger and explorer of Ukrainian culture, and I am proud to be Ukrainian myself. And now I am regularly working on a new material, new music, and I will release a new album very soon, maybe in January. That's what I do.
And we just wanted to ask you if you feel comfortable sharing with us a little bit about essentially, you know, where did the war meet you and how did you feel like when all of us saw, you know, what was happening on the morning of the 24th at home, and just a little bit about your thoughts and feelings back then.
Yeah, I remember this day because before February 24th for me was the day when I watched Twin Peaks, the show that I love very much. And this year I started my morning with the thought that I will watch the first episode of a first season of Twin Peaks. But then my girlfriend said to me that the war was started, and I was blown away. And the whole day was shifted towards news and calling to my parents. And also I was living in Netherlands. I live right now in Netherlands, and I was started to call my parents, my brother, my sister, and talk to them. And yeah, the whole day I spent on my phone.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. I know that probably for many Ukrainians who were caught by genocide, the war abroad, it's like extra level of torment, constantly being trying to get a hold of your loved ones. I hope your loved ones are now have been relatively okay through this, all of this.
They live in the western part of Ukraine, in Ternopil region, and they save here. And my brother with his family moved to Spain in March, but they already also went back to Ukraine, and now they in Ternopil.
I wanted to also say thank you for your art, because this is some background and context for everybody listening to us, that I actually reached out to Ivan some, you know, months already through the war, saying thank you for his art, because his songs helped me to go through a really dark days. And for many Ukrainians, to be honest, I think for many months when the genocide started, I couldn't even force myself to listen to any music. And when I start listening again, I think some months later, it was only Ukrainian music, and your specifically music as well, that helped me to find that kind of safe space where I can heal and where I can connect with something I love so deeply, which is music in general. So thank you so much for your art.
Thank you. It's an honor for me.
Can you tell us a little bit if you're making music and if your art has changed in any way due to tragedy that your family and your country is going through? Because lots of Ukrainian artists say that it has actually.
Yeah, I think not only art, not only things in life, everything was changing every day and still changing. And maybe I was starting to think more about why I'm doing this and why my music is important. And when I hear something like you said, that music and art can heal, that's the response that I need to pursue my music right now and in the future. My music, if you check my music, it's very chill and very vibey. It's not like, I don't know, about like social problems or any of that stuff. but maybe in a deeper sense. But I love synths and I love soul music, so I'm trying to do that. And I don't know if I'm responding.
You are. And I just wanted to follow up also on what you were talking about. Well, you started answering the question already, but it's just interesting for, I think, for everyone listening to you now to also know a little bit about what has been some of the like biggest inspiration behind your music throughout your, I guess, career, your art, and just whether you know, you've been inspired by new things since war or just in general, what makes you create the music that you create today for people to listen?
Oh, a lot of things. But if I'm going to speak about music that inspires me the most, I can't say that I heard something. I ain't going to lie that I was in my childhood, I was listening to Ukrainian music, because yeah, I heard a lot of Aquavita. Is like a Ukrainian scooter, if you know. And I heard Yurko Yurchenko and everything that was on Territoria A show. But further, when I was introduced to hip hop through my brother, I was starting to develop my taste in this direction. And a lot of rap music, a lot of R&B music has shaped my my thinking and my ways of approaching stuff just in general. Yeah, but a lot of black music, a lot of electronic music inspired me the most.
Yeah, well, I think it's not as surprising. First of all, I've heard that from so many Ukrainian artists, especially since we have so many beautiful examples as well of Ukrainian artists who are brilliant in rap music and hip hop. And I think for many of them, the spirit of rebellion and spirit of resistance that that kind of music channels very well just responds to Ukrainians naturally. So it's not about so much appropriation or copying. It's just it's very close to Ukrainian spirit and traditions and in songwriting and storytelling in general. But I wanted to, you know, ask you specifically about Ukrainian music, because the names that you dropped, I also remember very well from my childhood. And of course, we were listening to all of them. And it's kind of, you know, that cheesy 90s pop music. that shaped us and our understanding of music as well. But I also remember that for us as kids, there was always kind of this context that, well, you know, Ukrainian music or music in Ukrainian language is not really serious music.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a lesser kind of music than, say, music in Russian or music in English. That's why so many Ukrainian artists thought that switching to both of those languages is kind of a good move for your career. Mm-hmm. And I read one of your interviews and something that struck me and really impressed me. And you said that basically that kind of thinking, this when you decide that you won't be doing music in foreign language, because what's the point if your biggest power and strength is communicating in Ukrainian first, and this is kind of your value that you bring to music? Is this still the case for you, the language and how to, whether it's important in which language you make the music?
It's always been the case, and I was rooting for Ukrainian language in songs, in like in that in general, in everything that Ukrainians are producing, I think, throughout my whole life. And I'm not gonna say that I was not listening to Russian music, for example, because Russia was all over the place my whole life. And I'm so relieved right now that everything what is happening, because I feel it's our time to have this opportunity to change everything and distance ourselves from not only Russia, but things that we get used to listen, to see, to live with. And I'm talking also about United States and their culture. It's also on us, and I feel this very much because I've been listening to hip hop and everything my whole life, and I feel something in me that saying like it's not bad to listen, but it is very important to develop yourself through your culture and through things that have been in your culture for so many years. And I feel like Ukrainians are very talented and rich, deep people, and we need to dig deeper into that.
And you already said a little bit about the fact that, you know, now you started thinking a bit more about the audience, like from a perspective of, you know, why do they listen to your music or what you want to get for, like, to them. And I was just wondering, like, have you noticed any change in how people do consume your music, or just in general, how people consume Ukrainian music in the past couple of months? Has that changed at all? And what are some of your observations about that?
I mean, definitely, yeah. People started to shift their view towards Ukrainian music. And when I'm saying Ukrainian music, it's Ukrainian language music. I never... for me, English language or Russian language music was never Ukrainian. And now I feel like they shift in their view, and I'm glad that it is happening, but I don't feel like people understand the importance of digging deeper than that, deeper than music, than everything that was right now on the top of the charts or whatever. And I think we need to, as a listeners, as a consumers of things, we need to educate ourselves to and question ourselves why we doing this, why we want to listen Ukrainian music, why we want to dig, why we need to dig, and questioning yourself is very important in this case, and like in every case.
But I feel sometimes a bit kind of sorry for foreigners who don't understand Ukrainian, that they cannot unlock those meanings and that power and that vibe that comes from Ukrainian lyrics. And to be honest, when I knew your art before the war and I listened to it, I never connected to it or to any other Ukrainian music in a way I connect now. And not so much because of the music, but because of the lyrics, I guess, because the words are just speaking different meaning to me now. And I know that some Ukrainian artists now do these, tracks where they would take a very popular classic poetry, Ukrainian poetry, and just make a new tracks out of it. And it sounds, you know, that poetry from your childhood, but it sounds completely different, as if it's like someone speaks to you now. Do you have experience with even your own lyrics at the moment? Like, do you look at what you wrote, say, a year or two ago, and it speaks to you differently?
I think to be Ukrainian is speaks for me differently. To see how things are going in Europe, to live here and to see and to hear people speaks to me differently, because I feel more proud to be Ukrainian and to see the differences and to see old versions of myself thinking about how Europe is super cool and Ukraine is not good. It's funny for me, and I feel more proud than I felt before, definitely. I don't know if something speaks differently throughout music or poetry, but we have the opportunity right now to meet with our culture, and we need to take this opportunity.
Yeah. Can I ask you, because most of the people who listen to us, well, actually, I don't know, but a big part of the people who listen to us are people who are really keen to learn more about Ukraine, about Ukrainian culture, about Ukrainian music, literature. This is why we featured so many brilliant Ukrainians from different spheres. But I was just wondering, and maybe this directly relates to your music, but what have been, because you've of course spoken about some of the inspirations for your work amongst just in general global sort of global inspiration, but I was just wondering whether you had any and you spoke about some Ukrainian as well inspirations for you, but if you could tell a bit more to people who want to learn more what Ukrainian music or maybe even other things that have inspired you they should pay attention to and listen to and look to.
Yeah, I think I can recommend some stuff, but I want to answer this question in a different way. I think to have a desire to look somewhere and to say to someone that you need to look there is different things for me, and I want to people whatever they are to just to find this feeling if you want to look somewhere, if you want to dig there. If you want to check Ukrainian art, music and stuff, you can do that. And I will recommend you some things that inspired me the most. I can say you can watch paintings of Ivan Marchuk, or you can read Kvitka Osnovyanenko, or you can listen to whatever Ukrainian music you can find and Google it. And it's we have this beautiful channel on YouTube called Ukrainian Ukrainska Estrada, Ukrainian how to say Estrada?
Like, oh my God, I don't even know.
Yeah, it's
it's like the Ukrainian thing.
Ukrainian music, just Ukrainian showbiz, not show business, but like music stuff, you know?
Yeah, just type on YouTube Ukrainska Estrada and you find a very big pile of Ukrainian music from 60s and 70s and 80s. It's a beautiful channel.
Can I ask you one question also related to, you know, since you you're often abroad, you also get you hang out with fellow artists from the West, and there is a bit different thing about Ukrainian artists these days because of this genocide, because of the war. You travel and you tour, and if you have shows, there is a certain responsibility on you, weighs in as a Ukrainian to represent. So, has it been in any kind of conflict, or maybe vice versa, with you as an artist? In terms of, does it empower you now to become a better artist, or is it additional pressure that you feel you kind of have to do because you need to share these roles of, as an artist of, or as a Ukrainian as well?
It depends. It depends on how I'm feeling. If I feel the pressure, I feel the pressure and I'm talking about it. When I talk about things, about important things from a perspective of how I feel, it's not that hard for me and people can relate to, because I can say a lot of things that everybody's saying and like slogans and stuff, but when I speak from my heart, people can relate to and they approach me differently and they come to me and they say about how they feel about things, and we connect on this level, and it's so so much bigger than slogans or things that you can prepare for a journey like that?
Like one of the my favorite imagery from one of your music videos was for your single Caffeine. And am I mistaken, or is it your family there? Or
yeah,
the place?
That's my father in the video and my nephew.
You guys should definitely check this video, even if you don't understand Ukrainian. It's just, I watched it again before the war and after, and I found it cool before, and it was like, oh, cute, and I liked the track. But I literally cried when I watched it after, because it shows this generations of Ukrainians, a father, son, you know, your nephew, but it seems like just three generations of Ukrainians connecting, and beautiful Ukrainian scenery. And it felt so quintessential Ukrainian to me, about something about my family, something about my family ties.
You know, maybe it is the answer to the previous question, that in this video I captured some part of my life, big part of my life. And after the war, I realized that people see this this video as a real Ukraine. So maybe this is the answer of how perspectives changed after the war.
Yeah.
Dude, I really cannot imagine where you find the strengths all every day to keep creating art. This is really, you know, really big mystery for me, but I'm super, super grateful that you keep doing that, and it hasn't stopped with this genocide.
It is not a mystery. I can share where I, like, this is everyday life. And, like, for me, all the horror that is happening every day, and like all over the news and in phones, on the chats, it's a part of how we can see things. But also, I see nature, I see sun, I see love, I see beautiful people, I see beautiful, courageous people that fight every day, and they share with me with clips with how they listen to my music there in the front of the fight. And this is gives me so much hope and so much I believe so much in the future of Ukraine. And it's much bigger than the Russia thinks what it can do to us, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I just wanted to ask you, I know we're starting slowly to run out of time, and we have our favorite question that we ask each one of our guests at the end of the episode, which you've answered in some ways already, but we always, for us, it's important to document this for future years, for ourselves, for others to get inspiration from it. But we just and it's a little bit more, I don't know, I it's not far-fetched, but I forgot the word, but anyway, we wanted to ask you what it means for you to be Ukrainian, and has that changed for you at all in the last 9 months, or has it stayed the same?
It's always changing. It's every day changing. And to be Ukrainian for me, first of all, is to be a human. and to be to realize that I need to question myself every day, and I need to also I need to take action, because consciousness needs action. And what I do with my music, what I do in everyday life, just developing myself in relationships, developing my craft, talking to people, having awesome conversations, and not fear at all of the Moscovia, and not give an F about Moscovia, because now it's time for us to Ukrainians, and not just only for Ukrainians, to realize that everything that was created by the system of Moscovia, is fake. And it's not that we don't fear them, and we don't give an F about them, and we will fight them every day throughout art, music, and yeah, this is my response. Пройшло кілька годин, тебе має забрати вобі. Ми опинилися в глухому куті. Очевидно, посіяли наші крапки на дим.
Wow, we definitely, when we picked the topic for kind of the byline for the this episode, saying resistance through music, I never kind of hoped that you will perfectly land it, and you did. Thank you so much, my friend. This has been a really honor to showcase your art, but you as another badass, talented, defiant Ukrainian who is exploring himself, your art, and just, you know, having the power, having the energy to keep doing that despite all the horror that Russia is trying to do to us. So yeah, thank you. For everyone else, I would really encourage you to check Ivan's art. It's an Ukrainian, so maybe also good for you encouragement to learn Ukrainian, because there are some lines that I could probably translate, but they will never ring you the same as they ring where they click a connect in Ukrainian. Like for example, this one, I really remember it and memorize it all the time. I know that's one of your oldest works, but still it's from Caffeine. And it says, я візьму два еспрессо, бо я так хочу, і зап'ю їх аеропресом, бо я так хочу, і моє серце може зійти на наступній зупинці, якщо захоче, але я люблю кофеїн і не зіскочу. When I drink coffee every day to bring me back to reality after another shitty night of sleepless or semi-sleepless night, this is what I remember, this is what plays in my head. So thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me, and I'm thankful for the opportunity and just to be on your platform. It's an honor for me, and take care, stay safe, and listen and question yourself, and go towards love.
Thank you so much. It's been amazing to have you with us. We're so grateful for your wisdom, and we hope everyone who listened today is going to go and also listen to your music for further inspiration. And you've given some great recommendations as well, and we're just grateful for your time, for choosing to spend these 45 minutes together with us. Thank you.
Thank you, and, guys. Thank
and
you.
Also great thanks go to our Patreon sponsors, because Ukrainian Spaces is 100% listener supported and independent, and this broadcast, and if you're listening as a podcast, happened thanks to the support of our Patreons. So we need more support always to keep going, to have these conversations, to amplify more Ukrainian voices, to decolonize more Ukrainian conversations. So if you are not a patron yet, please join us and support us through our Patreon page. You can find all the information at ukrainianspaces.com, and you get lots of perks when you become a part of our Patreon family. One of them is that you have an exclusive opportunity to join live broadcast and ask your questions to our featured Ukrainians and Ukrainians allies in person. I think that's about it. Also, if you're listening it on podcast platforms, please don't forget to rate and comment us, because it helps us to trend on those podcast platforms. Last traditional thing is Slava Ukraini.
Slava.
See you next time.
See you.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye. Столи вкрилися наїдками, у повітрі дух витає, атмосфери принагідної, в затишних оселях, а не посеред руїн, як ті, що без світла, без газу. Лише в куртках з пір'їнками, у розмовах всі змагаються, гучно міряються будками, в привілеях визнають, купаються, але ще діляться з притулками. Та поки в Києві, Львові, Донецьку, Луцьку і Херсоні, Тернополі, Луганську, Маріуполі, Кривому Розі, Севастополі, у Кропивницькому і Вінниці, Одесі, Чернівцях, Сумах і Житомирі, у Миколаєві, Рівному, Франківську, Харкові та Мелітополі, Черкасах, Запоріжжі, Чернігові, Дніпрі, Хмельницькому, Полтаві, Ужгороді. Пронизане усе до нитки гуркотом, цю порожнечу не запомнити, ми будемо її рупором. Я бажаю.